Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, which is found on page 863 in your sanctuary Bibles and also on the overhead screens. It's John 3, 1 to 8. Nicodemus visits Jesus. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are indeed welcome here. We welcome you in our hearts, and we ask you to fill us with your wisdom, your strength, and your love. Father, at this time of our worship, we ask that you soften our hearts and that you help us to open our ears to hear from what you have to tell us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So it was about 30 plus years ago. It was a cold night in September. And the event that happened that night really changed the face of the world. Really changed everything that happened then. Changed history. I was born. This morning I told a story. I think I missed something. I forgot to say it was September. So people actually thought I was born, you know, these days. So we're like clapping, singing happy birthday. I'm like, no. Happened in September. I don't remember anything about my birth. I don't know about you, but it's pretty unusual to remember our birth. We were too young. So what we know about our birth is only through our parents. And what I know about my birth is that it was in the middle of the night that I was really noisy because apparently my siblings all came out and said, "Hey, the baby's born." I also know that it was at home. My dad being a doctor, and after having three kids being born at hospital, my parents just thought, "Hey, why don't we try at home? Home delivery, right? And it worked, right? I'm here in front of you. I can tell you, I can certify that I am alive. I'm in good health, and I'm in front of you. So we all have stories about our birth. But what do we do after that? What does it mean to be alive? What does it mean to be in this life? What is our purpose? What shall we do with our life that was given to us? Many deep questions, right? I think most of the time we find these answers through experiences in life. And as I was thinking of those ways that we really feel our aliveness in life, I kind of ordered them into three categories. And of course, there are many, many other ways, but I think this is kind of a good landscape for the different things, the different experiences that we can have in life to remind us of our aliveness. The first one has to do with our physical body. It's any time we kind of push the physical boundaries, if you will. So Hong Kong is really big It's all about races, right? There are races pretty much every day, everywhere in Hong Kong. People really love running. That's what I've learned here. There are marathons. There are trails. Some of you guys might do trails. Some of them are really insane. It's like 100 kilometers in 24 hours in Lantau. I mean, it's really, really big. But why do we run? Why do we run, you know, really fast or for a really long period of time? We could just stay at home, watch TV, and we would feel maybe better. It's because we long for those experiences that make us feel like, wow, we are alive. We have a body, right? We are reminded of our aliveness. But the truth is, most of the time, we don't really think of that, right? We just wake up, breakfast, get ready to go to work, to school, and we don't really stop during the day saying, man, I'm alive. This is so cool, right? We don't do that. You don't do that with your friends, or if you do, they will tell you you're weird, and you will stop doing it, right? Think of this movie, Chariots of Fire. You remember this movie? An old classic British movie about two men running and getting ready for the Olympics. Now, one of these men runs for God. He's a devout Scottish Christian. And there's a beautiful line in this movie, Chariots of Fire, where he says, when I run, I feel his pleasure. And by his pleasure, he means God's pleasure. When I run, when I'm really fast, I feel God's pleasure. And I'm sure you must have had experiences like that, doing sports or just going for a walk and kind of reconnecting with your body, feeling like it is good to be an embodied human being, right? I feel alive. The second category is what I labeled meaningful relationships. And the very fact that we are here today means that we care for relationships, right? Pastor Michel last week told us, you could all stay at home and watch YouTubers, preachers, you know, those like really successful preachers online. You could do that. But we don't. We come to church every Sunday to gather all together in kind of this old-fashioned way to build community. But that's because we care about each other. We are social beings. We are not meant to be alone. It's really clear in the Bible. We are not meant to be alone. We are meant to be in community. We are social beings. We crave for interactions with one another. We crave for meaningful relationships. The other day, I had a conversation with someone from the congregation who's about to retire, and his son was next to me. And we're having a conversation, and at some point, I asked this person, I said, hey, I know you're getting close to retirement, so do you have any like new projects? This person is a really successful businessman, successful in the eyes of the world, right? Worked a lot, beautiful career in the corporate world, and pretty much has done everything you could possibly do in the corporate world. So I was expecting something a little bit more, you know, a bit like, yeah, I want to go to this next step. I want to go to the global level of my company. I want to do this kind of like shark way to look at the career, right? Really, I want to get to the next level. Guess what answer I got? He looked at me, he looked at his son, and he said, you know, Anto, at this stage of my life, it's not really about the career anymore. What I want, and then he looked at his son in the eyes, he said, at this stage, I just want a grandson or a granddaughter. And my friend was like, he's not married, you know, he's like, oh, sure, that's for me. And I'm sure you've experienced that. I'm sure you know that those meaningful relationships are really important. And how it feels to hold your kid or your grandkids in your arms. All of a sudden, it's like the whole world disappeared, and it's just about you and this baby child. And in those moments, you feel like, man, this is why I'm on earth, to be connected, to have meaningful relationships. The third category is what I call kind of broadly creativity. And you can put a lot of things into this category of creativity. If you enjoy singing, if you enjoy playing instruments, if you enjoy the arts in general, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about those moments that you have when you create something, a piece of art, and all of a sudden you feel like, man, I am reconnecting with myself. I am also reconnecting with God, the creator, because I'm creating things. And God gave us this amazing power to create things. In my own personal life, I think for me the most creative moment I ever experienced was when I applied about 2 years ago for a doctorate program. And since I applied to a program that is in the UK, you have to come up with an idea, with a concept. You cannot just apply and say, I'll find out what I want to work on later. You have to come up with an idea. And I realized I've never, ever created a concept, an intellectual concept before. And the creative process I went through was amazing. It was mind-blowing. It was a lot of work, but it was also, I felt so good. It was good. At the end of this process, I created an intellectual concept and I could kind of see it like a piece of art. Well, that's creativity. And we are creative people. We like to create stuff. It makes us feel good and it makes us feel like we are alive, that we are in this world. I think Jesus experienced those three categories in his ministry. Jesus was all about the physical boundaries, to push the physical boundaries. Remember that he was a healer. Before anything else, people would come to Jesus to be healed. Not so much to hear the teaching, that would kind of come later on. But first of all, people came to be healed. He was known to be this migrant healer. He would go from village to village. And people will all come gather in front of Jesus and ask to be healed. And he would heal them. Crippled bodies become able bodies. And even dead bodies with Jesus became alive. Jesus was able to quite literally push the physical boundaries and to bring people back to life, to make them feel this sense of aliveness. Meaningful relationships? Well, if you read the Gospel of Mark, one of the first few lines is about Jesus calling disciples. Jesus didn't do a solo ministry. He was not the solo lead pastor of his own church. No, he built community. He called people and literally asked them to follow him. And not follow him on social media, but quite literally to drop everything and to follow him. He cared about community. He cared about building lasting relationships. Actually, everywhere he went, in all those small villages where people asked to be healed, he made sure that he would build relationships pretty much everywhere. And the beauty about those relationships that Jesus built is that it was for everyone. He built relationship with the prostitute, with the tax collectors, with the lowest of the lowest. He didn't go to all those villages to build relationship with just the wealthy. He went for everyone. Everyone is welcome. Creativity. One example I would like to use is the teaching of the cheek. I call it the teaching of the cheek. It's when Jesus asks, okay, guys, what do you do if someone slaps you on one cheek? What do you do? Now, if we were completely honest, which we are called to be, as a reminder, we are called to be honest. So our answer, most of us, would be, well, I retaliate and I punch back, right? You slap me, I slap you back. Normal human attitude. And actually, at the time, the Jewish law was about retaliation, right? You remember this eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? This teaching It's about saying, well, it's equal. If you slap me, I have to slap you back. And it's kind of, you know, normal. Some of you might be a little bit more creative and maybe answer, well, if you slap me in the face, I'm going to run away really far. Or I'm going to maybe fake it, or I'm just going to freeze and pretend I'm dead, you know. Like. But none of us, seriously, none of us would have answered to Jesus what the correct answer is: present the other cheek. None of us would have thought of that. Jesus' teaching is radical. It is creative. Jesus was a creative thinker, and he helped us to think outside the box by presenting a radical teaching, a challenging teaching, that otherwise none of us would have find out, really. Nicodemus is our good friend this morning. Nicodemus is a teacher of the law, so he knows the Bible really well, he knows the Torah really well. He's also a well-established Jew in his community. Think of him as one of the senior pastors here in Hong Kong, you know, someone you respect and knows the law. And he saw Jesus' ministry around. And he saw that Jesus was doing all those healing miracles. He saw that Jesus was attracting people to him and was building relationships. He saw how Jesus was creative. And he could feel that it was all about life, that Jesus was bringing life everywhere he was going. And Nicodemus was touched by this teaching to the point where he decided to go and visit Jesus to find out a little bit more. So he did, but not in a very normal, kind of regular way. Because most of us, if we have a theological question or a question about a specific ministry, we tend to go during the day. Right? Nicodemus went during the night. I just want to pause to say that it's not really usual. It is pretty unusual to knock at the door of someone's door at 3 a.m. to ask questions. I asked Michelle earlier, and she said it's not happening in her household. No one is bothering her at night, which is great. So Nicodemus came to Jesus. But then he didn't ask a question. You would think he would ask a question. No, he was kind of rambling. It was like, oh, Jesus, it's a little bit awkward. It's the middle of the night. What's happening is that we kind of know you're the Son of God and you're doing all these amazing things. You're bringing life to people. That's it. And you could see Jesus on the other side being like, okay, so you're waking me up at 3 a.m. right now to tell me something I already know. Thank you so much. I know I'm the Son of God, and I'm bringing life to people. But Jesus anticipates the question. Because really, what Nicodemus is after is this question about life. And it's this question that we all have deep inside us. Is there more than life? Is there more than what we see? Is there more than our physical body? Is there more than our relationships? What is life? Is there like a next level to life? That's the question that Nicodemus is asking to Jesus. And we know the answer. Jesus says, you know, Nicodemus, you have everything. You're already enjoying life. But you know what? If you're not born again, you will not be able to see the kingdom of God. Here again, I'm doing a little pause, because the concept of born again has been kind of used so much over the years and the centuries that when we think of it, when it goes to our mind, most of us might have in mind something like, you know, big evangelical denominations, or people coming to you and kind of asking you, are you a born-again Christian? And you're like, oh, Michelle, what should I say? Born again, in Greek, is a lot bigger than just born again. It's anothen, and it means to born anew, born again, born from heaven, born from above. I know it's quite a long definition, but it's just to show you that this concept has a lot of meanings behind. And Jesus unpacks this meaning. He's saying, well, to be born again is pretty simple, Nicodemus. Because here, again, Nicodemus, you know, doesn't get it. So it's like, wait, so I have to go back to my mother's womb, but that's impossible. So why are you asking me to be born again? It just doesn't make sense. So Jesus explains. There was this physical birth. This thing that happened, Nicodemus, your parents told you when you were born at night, really noisy, this is your physical birth. What I'm talking about here, says Jesus, is your spiritual birth. Ah, now we're getting somewhere. It's about you being brought to life in this new spiritual kingdom of yours. It is a new birth in the Spirit that Jesus is talking about. Now here's the trick for our understanding of this concept. We cannot be born again if we do not die first. Let me say that again. We cannot be born again if we do not die first. And this is radical teaching. Think of it, most all religions really in the world, none of them are presenting the truth, because the truth is about death. Most of the time, it's all about worshiping gods that will kind of help us in our life, but that's it. Or if you come from Western Europe like me, where humanism is the main religion, you would hear that, well, to live your life to the full is to find your best self, whatever that is, to find your true self inside you somewhere, I don't know. I've heard that over and over. That's true religion in some parts of the world. Now, Christians say, the truth is death and resurrection. And it's radical, it's challenging, it's unusual, and it hurts. Because none of you want to die. That's the bottom line. None of us want to die. So what shall we do? We should be ready to die for Christ. The same way that he died for us. And the only way that it's possible is to recognize him as our Lord and Savior. That's the bottom line. Because as soon as we say that, as soon as we proclaim Christ is my Lord and my Savior, we put our old self over there on the cross. Our old self dies, and our new self in Christ can be alive. And all of a sudden, it's not this life watching TV in front of with your family. It's this new life with a capital L. It's being made new. And then we understand the teaching of Paul when he says, you know, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Of course, Paul is not saying we need to physically die right now. No, he's saying, spiritually, we need to put our old self on the cross right now. We need to do that. That's also why Jesus said, you know, when I came on earth to give you life. And not this small life, all the things we long for in life. No, I came here to give you life to the full. Life with a capital L. And Jesus is not saying all these experiences that we have, all those physical boundaries that I was telling you about, all those meaningful relationships, all this art and creativity. He's not saying throw it away, it's rubbish. No. He's saying this is true. This is how you can feel that you're alive. But you're just seeing a glimpse of the kingdom of God. So if you really want to see the kingdom of God, you need to embark on this journey that requires you to die. And that's challenging teaching. Just note before we end. You might know people, or you might be yourself, able to say at a precise time and date that you were born again. I don't know if you've ever met people like that, and it's fine. If you had an experience when you knew the Holy Spirit was putting you out of death to life at a precise moment, that is great. But for some people, it's not 1 hour, 1 second of one time in the past. It's been a process through a few months, a few years. I know for myself that I don't have a specific time when I can say, oh, this is when I was born again. But I can tell you for sure that over a few years, I've seen a process in myself. I've seen a change. And this change is not about me boasting myself or becoming better or becoming my true self. No, it was about me confessing that Christ is my Lord and Savior. That's kind of the bottom line. So we sometimes some of us remember our birth. Some of us don't. But the question is, what are we doing now? Are we alive now? We are alive physically. We are in this room. But are we alive in the Spirit? Are we in tune with the Spirit? Have we plugged into this new life, this life to the full, this life where part of us is at the cross? That's the teaching of Jesus. And in a way, it's the good news. Someone earlier this morning at 8, before I was preaching all services, came to me and said, hey, I saw the passage about Nicodemus, but what are you going to say today? Is it like happy or is it like sad? I was like, it's the good news. Of course it's happy. Of course it's yay, great. That's the truth. We don't come to church with like long faces. Oh, my pastor asked me to die. Oh, don't know what to do. No, we come and we say, yes, yes, Lord. Thank you for changing us from the inside out. And we come with joy, with thanksgiving. We praise the Lord with thanksgiving because we know that it's for our best. It's a paradox, but we know it's for our best that we have to die. And Christ is showing us the way. And yes, it is the good news. The gospel, evangelion in Greek, means the good news. So when you go in the world, when you see your friends, your family, when you share those stories, you have the duty to be joyful. You cannot say, well, this weird French guy at church told me that I was supposed to die and I'm sharing this with you, but I'm really unhappy. No, that's the story of the rich, the young wealthy man. You remember in the Gospels? He wanted to follow Jesus and Jesus said, hey, I think, yeah, you can follow me. But are you ready to leave everything behind? And the young wealthy man says, no. And the text says, he left with a sad, long face. He just couldn't go to the cross. So now it's our time to go to the cross, to take up our own cross, to die, to leave the old behind, because the new is coming. We are called to be born again, to be born anew, to be born from heaven, to be born from above. Amen. Amen.